First Peter chapter 4, this whole book focuses on trials, but this particular one makes an interesting statement about this word strange, and we as Christians need to be careful that we don't think it's strange, although we often do. And so today is about trials, 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come, the judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. So our title today is Think It Not Strange. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for Jesus, what he's done for us, who he is for us, and it continues to intercede and bless and watch over us. We just praise you today. Lord, as we take this time to set aside to focus on your word, I pray that that's what we will do. We will push aside any distractions. We would listen to the Holy Spirit as he talks to us through this amazing book. May you be glorified. May you be pleased with our service. May each of us respond as you would have us to, that we might leave different and more like Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, a couple of things to think about when we have a trial next time, or maybe you're in the middle of one. Number one, don't think it's strange. Don't think it's strange. That's what God says. Think it not strange. So if you're in a trial, if you're just came out of a trial, well, every Christian's either in a trial, just came out of one, or about to go into one. That's just the Christian life. It's a fact. So when it happens, don't say, oh, this is strange. It's not strange. As we'll see, it's designed by God. He has a purpose in it. He has a plan for your life. It's not strange. It's going to happen. It's part of the Christian life. Look at Psalm 34:19. God tells us that we will have trials, and he has a purpose in everyone. Because of our stubbornness, usually it takes trials to refine us, to get us where we need to be. Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Many. How many? We'll find out when we get to heaven. Amen. Many are the afflictions. Another verse, Philippians 1:29. Philippians 1:29. Notice the Bible says, for unto you, talking to Christians, it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, which obviously is God's will for everyone, but also to suffer for his sake. It's appointed, he says, that you suffer for his sake. At any given time, we'll probably be going through a trial. And you know, if you study the book of Job, you pretty much find out what the categories of trials will be. It's usually either health, it's financial, or it's people related. Family, friends, church, whatever. It usually comes down to one of those things. I'm including your job and finances, but yeah, if you look at how Job suffered, lost his family, lost his living, lost his health. But that was only the first three. You know, a lot of people think those were the three. But then these supposed friends showed up and spent hours and hours telling him he deserved it, the suffering. And they were wrong. But that's number one. Think it not strange. Don't be surprised. Don't say, why? Don't say, Lord, this is a mistake. Or, Lord, why would you allow this in my life? But no. Think it not strange. God allowed it. God has a plan. That's number one. Number two, verse 13 of 1 Peter 4. Rejoice. That is the last thing that we naturally want to do when a trial comes, isn't it? A trial comes in our life, we don't immediately think, I should rejoice, I should praise God for this. That's not usually our initial fleshly old man reaction, is it? But that's what God says we should do. Rejoice. Inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. In other words, rejoice because you now, God is allowing each of us to have just a taste of what Jesus went through on our behalf at Calvary. Now, the Bible teaches he suffered in so many ways, more than any human has probably ever suffered. Why? Why did he go through all that pain? Why did he go through all that attack? Why did he go through all that suffering? For us. And it just gives us that small taste of what Jesus went through for us, and we can say, thank you, Lord. Praise God that I get just a little taste of what Jesus suffered for me. Because I'm going to spend forever in heaven thanking him for it, amen, and praising him for it. Down here, I can say, thank you, Lord, for letting me experience just a taste. That's what it says, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. When he comes back, the suffering's over, amen, so we'll definitely be thankful for that. But rejoice, the Bible says. Look over chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Here it is again. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. Look at these next three words. If need be, ye are in heaven is through manifold temptations. For a season, well, we don't know how long that is. Only God does. And it says, if need be. Well, who decides that? God. If need be. If God decides we need another one, and what it should be, what should we do? Rejoice. Rejoice that you can have a part, that you can partake in Christ's sufferings. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Paul here talking about his own fellowship with the Lord here in Philippians chapter 3. And look what he says here in verse 10. He says, that I may know him. Amen. That should be our desire, that we know him better. And the power of his resurrection. All of us want more power in the Holy Spirit. But look at the last phrase. And the fellowship of his sufferings. That's not something that we usually get excited about, is it? The fellowship of his sufferings. But we should. And God says, not only should our reaction be that we don't think it's strange, but our reaction should be joy, rejoicing. Thank you, Lord. He says in verse 14 of our passage, 1 Peter 4, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he's evil spoken of, but on your part he's glorified. How? Because you rejoiced. Because you chose to respond properly to the trial. That glorifies God. Let none of you suffer some murderer, thief, an evildoer, a busybody, and other men's matters. But, verse 16, if you suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So that's our third point, glorify God. Whatsoever you do, do all to the what? Glory of God. Amen. Glorify God. Look at Luke 6:22. I know I take us here a lot, but it's such a unique statement here in Luke 6. Verse 22, blessed are you when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day. Look at this next phrase. And leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner they did their fathers unto the prophets. Leap for joy. Rejoice. Glorify God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul, you know this passage, asked God three times to take away his thorn. We don't know what the thorn was, but Paul believed it was hindering his ministry. So he came to God three times and said, please take it away. And this was God's final response in verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 12. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He said, Paul, I'm not taking the thorn. But look what Paul said. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Paul's perspective completely changed. He no longer said, take it away. Now he said, thank you. Glory to God. I will glory in my infirmities. And then Romans 5:3, one more. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. So, number one, think it not strange. Don't let your initial reaction be, woe is me, why is me? Let it be instead, Lord, you have a purpose. And rejoice. And glorify God. Romans 5:3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. So the whole passage is about suffering. So look what he says in verse 17 of our passage. The time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? Well, we know the end of those that obey not the gospel. They're going to go to hell. We read about that in 2 Thessalonians and other places. It says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel. But God is teaching us that how we respond to trials is a critical part of our Christian testimony. That the world should be able to see, our family, our friends, our neighbors, our workmates should be able to see that when trials come into our lives, we don't behave like the world does. We behave differently. We respond differently. We don't complain. We don't go into despondency. We trust God. We might even rejoice like we're commanded to. We might even glorify God. But we are a testimony of God's goodness. So number four is found in verse 19. It says, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him. So what's number four? Trust God that he's faithful. Trust God. I mean, we don't have a choice, but it's much better to say, Lord, I'm trusting you through this trial, and to live that than to not trust him and complain. And so just like we see with Israel over and over again, every trial that came into their lives, they didn't trust God. They said, God brought us out here to kill us. That's not the proper response. Instead, commit, trust God that he is faithful. Job did this. If you look at Job 13, verse 15, he went through tremendous suffering, like I mentioned earlier. Lost his children, lost his living, lost his health, sitting in the ash pile scraping the boils. And then these supposed friends show up and start attacking him. Look what he said in the midst of all that, Job 13:15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Even if he's going to kill me, I'm not going to stop trusting him. And that's what God's telling us to do here. Commit the keeping of their soul. Trust God. Amen? Like Paul said. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory mine for. I'm going to trust God. And that's what Paul said in 2 Timothy. Turn there, please, chapter 1, verse 12, if you would. Again, talking about suffering. And then he gives us this beautiful verse that turned into a hymn. It's talking about eternal security. But the context was suffering. 2 Timothy 1:12, he says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. He says, I'm suffering for the cause of Christ. He says, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. In other words, I'm going to trust God. Yes, I'm suffering these things, but I am going to trust God. I'm going to trust that Romans 8:28 is true. Amen. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So number one, think it not strange. Don't be surprised. It's coming. God's warned us. There's going to be another trial. So don't get surprised. Don't think it's strange. Number two, when it happens, rejoice. Thank you, Lord. You're obviously not finished with me yet. You obviously have more plans for me. You obviously are going to work more in my life to refine me and conform me to the image of Jesus Christ. Number three, glorify God. Give God the glory in the midst of the trial. Number four, trust God that he is faithful. How many times are we told in the scriptures God is faithful? You know God is even faithful in trials? We're told this. Temptation, 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is the common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. God's faithful. So believe it, trust it. Number five, our last point, verse 19 of 1 Peter 4. It says, in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Number five, just keep doing right. Let's be honest, we're most tempted to stray, I'll use that word, away from God's commands when we are going through an intense trial, a fiery trial, as he called it, there in verse 12. That's when the devil says, oh, why even bother being faithful? Why even bother being obedient? You're going through this intense trial. Is it really worth it? That's what happens, isn't it? And so he says, well-doing. In other words, keep doing right despite the trial. Don't let the trial lead you into more sin. Because you know what that means? That just means now God has to send a different trial to teach you that lesson that he was trying to teach you with that trial. But since we responded improperly to that one, now we got to go back to that lesson that God was trying to teach us. Go to Psalm 119:75. David finally understood this. And David, I mean, we talk about him all the time, man after God's own heart. We talked about him in Sunday school this morning, how God brought him to that place of repentance. But David also went through heaps of trials, even though he was a man after God's own heart, especially before he became king. Running from Saul, his life threatened constantly. And then later on, his family, his sons trying to steal his kingdom and so forth. David went through a lot of trials. And look what he says in Psalm 119:75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. David learned, in the midst of the trials, do right anyway. And when you think back, two opportunities he had to take vengeance on Saul. Remember? God worked miracles in two different situations when he was being chased by Saul, chased by Saul's army. And both times it worked out, once in a cave, once across a big gorge. God worked it out that if David had wanted to, he himself or he could have had one of his generals take Saul out. And in both of those cases, you know what David said? Nope, don't touch him. He is God's anointed. If God wants to deal with him, God will deal with him, but I'm not going to do it myself. And he didn't. Now, Saul, you know, repented, but then he went right back to his old ways. David said, God will take care of this. Guys, you do not need to take Saul out. If God wants to take Saul out, he will. And guess what? God did. And then David didn't have to be the one that now has to be punished for taking vengeance. In other words, do right in the midst of the trial, which is what David strove to do all that time that he was being chased. He says, I'm just going to do right. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3:3. And by the way, God can help us to do right. He lives in us. He's there to help us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. This is God's promise to us. He says, the Lord is faithful. There's that faithful word again. Who shall establish you and keep you from evil. We can't keep from evil in our own strength, but we can certainly do it with the help of the Holy Spirit, with the Word of God. And so in the midst of the trial, don't let the devil say, you know, this trial's been going on too long. I'm just going to give up trying to do the right thing. I'm just going to go back into sin. Wrong answer. So, what a great lesson. Verse 12, think it not strange. Don't be surprised. Verse 13, rejoice when the trials come. Verse 16, glorify God. Verse 19, trust God that He knows what He's doing, that He has a purpose in the trial, that He's faithful, that He has a plan. Amen? And 2 Corinthians 4:17, we'll turn there quickly. God uses the trial. Trust that that is true. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Notice it says, for our light affliction. Well, it may not seem light here, but it will when we get to heaven. Amen. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Well, it may not seem like a moment here, but it will when we get to heaven. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, this is from God's perspective. It's light and it's for a moment. It might be for 50 years, but it's a moment in time. Once we've spent 10,000 in heaven, 50 years won't seem like much, will it? And it might seem heavy now, but when we get to heaven, we'll look back and think, wow, that was good for me. It actually wasn't that heavy. But it worketh. Notice it worketh for us. In other words, trust that God is faithful and has a purpose in it. That's number four. And then, of course, number five, don't let the devil use it to tempt you in the midst of the trial to say, I quit and I'm going to go back into sin. No. Do right. Do right in the midst of the suffering. Just keep doing right and trusting that God knows what He's doing. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. We need to love Him when things are going good. And we need to love Him when, from an earthly perspective, things aren't going as good as we want them to. We're going through some intense, fiery trial, as He says there in verse 12. So there is God's advice when the trials come. And He doesn't say in verse 12 that it might come, does He? He says it will come. We will face the fiery trial, which is to try you. We will face it. But God then gives us the purpose, but also how to handle it. And we can do that with His help. Because He lives in us. Hallelujah. Now, I didn't speak to you this morning, but if you're in our service, you're not sure you're born again. That's why Christ died. That's why He rose again. That's number one. Nothing more important than your eternal destiny. And God offers you eternal life as a gift, but you must accept the gift. You must receive it by understanding, believing the gospel of Jesus Christ, which any of us would be happy to share with you. And as we have an opportunity in a few moments to come and say, I'd like to make sure I'm going to heaven, we'll have someone take God's word, the Bible, if that's you, and show you step by step the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can be saved today. Those of us that are Christians, we're either coming out of a trial or going into a trial? Are we handling it biblically? Or have we let the devil or the flesh trick us into handling it non-biblically? It's always up to us, isn't it? How we handle it. Think it not strange, the Bible says. Let's pray. Dear Lord, how we love You, how we thank You for Your precious and powerful word. Lord, it is amazing how it speaks to us and builds our faith and changes us. And Lord, I pray that even today we would acknowledge that there might be trials that we've gone through or trials that we're in that we've really not handled as You've commanded us to. May we get that right. And may we learn, Lord, to respond biblically, knowing that it is part of our testimony to this world, how we handle trials. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who indwells us. We thank you for the Word that guides us and grows us, and pray that through those two amazing things, that we would face the trials as you would have us to and grow accordingly, that we might be conformed to the image of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we